Last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about moving from a place of maintaining to obtaining. It's incumbent upon us as a generation to take the responsibility for our generation. Most of the problems that are upon this earth, especially this nation, is because of the absenteeism of the church. We found ourselves playing in the playgrounds, not before the throne of God, changing things, changing the atmosphere by our prayer and the authority God has given us. Moving from a place of obtaining, of maintaining to obtaining. We began this series defining that. Maintaining, we said, is to hold, preserve, or to keep in any particular state or condition. And to obtain is to gain possession. So rather than just hold steady, which we've been really good at, how many know we've been good at holding steady? At least we think we've been. We've given ground to the enemy, haven't we? Because you better believe the enemy is trying to obtain. And he obtains illegally. He is encroaching upon holy ground. But if he doesn't tell anybody, if nobody tells him he can't be there, he's going to be there. For any kingdom to be established, we said, the basic needs must be supplied. Food, clothing, and shelter. When I joined the army, I received clothing and shelters and 3 squares a day. I didn't like it, but they provided all my clothing, all my food. Come on, somebody. So Jesus, when he called us to be his church, he said, don't worry about what you wear, what you eat, where you live. I'll take care of all that. I'm not asking you to come to a kingdom to give me anything. I'm going to give you everything that you need. The only thing that you're giving me is your life. Now you belong to me. And don't worry about what will happen, because I'll take care of you. Even in the most distressful times, if you've been a Christian for any longer than a couple of years, you know that even in the most distressful of times, God is supplying for us. Peace in the midst of turmoil and strife and sickness and hunger and disease and all kinds of things. God is always there. He lived his promise. Jesus didn't tell us to come. Jesus said to go. Now that I've supplied all these things, go. And we talked about the church obtaining property and status. And finally, the church pursued, the latter part of the 20th century, were pursued with fervor the favor of man. We wanted to be popular. So we became seeker-friendly houses. And it worked. Prior to the 1970s, mega churches were never heard of. Come on, now there's mega churches. Because they supply, they've found the favor of man. But how many know we need to find the favor of God? We need to find the favor of God. Last week we talked about dominion, to establish by rule, reigning over a given territory, representing that territory and all that dwell therein. God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, not us, let them, we said. And it says in verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Say, all the earth.
All the earth.
And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I remember in 1984, I was at a concert in Dallas, Texas, north of the lake there, the huge lake. I can't remember the name. And we're in a park, and the forecast that day, we had all kinds of people coming in. We had Leon Patillo. How many remember Leon? Leon Patillo, Amy Grant, some others, a big, huge concert. And the forecast for that day was torrential rainfall. And so it was dark. It was darker than it is now. It's just dark. And the clouds were thick. And so you can't cancel something like that. It either is or it isn't. You got people flying in. And so we gathered people together and joined hands and began to pray. And it was just, there was a little hole in the clouds that started, and the clouds just parted. It was the neatest thing. If you weren't there, you wouldn't believe it. Just looked up in this thing. And the sun came out. And we played the concert. The concert was done. We had everybody. It was done. As soon as it was done, everybody was gone. It poured the rain. After the instruments were all taken off, after everything was, it poured the rain. And the front page of the Dallas Times Herald the next morning said it rained everywhere in Dallas but over that park. It's front page news. Now why? Because we took authority that was given to us by heaven over the elements and said, no, you won't. We don't realize how much weight our prayers hold, or we would pray more. And when we command, how many know? We are given authority over the earth. Over every creeping thing. Over all the fish of the sea. Come on, somebody. We've lost that mandate. But it's coming back. God said, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men." The earth is ours to manage, to supervise. Come on, somebody. Luke 12:32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And we said that God limited Himself because of the covenant He made with man. He said, "I'll take care of the heavens, you take care of the earth. I'll join with you and partner with you, but I can't do anything on the earth without the benefit of man being involved." Come on, somebody. Knowing who we are is important, but knowing who He is even more so. We live in two kingdoms. Very hard. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is with the Lord in heaven. One of the kingdoms says that we do this and do that, and we get along and tolerate. And the other demands our allegiance, but assists us, assuring us holiness, power, and victory. I resign from listening to this kingdom that I live in. Oh, I obey the laws, I pay my taxes, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but they can't tell me how to feel about things. They can't tell me to tolerate sin. They can encourage me to do so, but my answer is going to be no. Why? Because we're obtaining, see. You can't be an authority if you buy all the lies of the enemy. You just become part of the fabric of the country that you're living in. You've lost a mandate from heaven that says, I sent you to build my kingdom, not to acquiesce to the kingdom that you're living in. We are challenged to be in this kingdom and of the kingdom of God. In this earthly kingdom, our vote counts. Our opinion is voiced. Boy, is it ever. And our disagreements are heard. Now with the launching of Twitter and Facebook and all this other junk, everybody's opinion is voiced. You don't need a title, you can just condemn somebody and promote somebody. But in the kingdom of God, we have no vote. We have no opinions. Heaven doesn't care what our opinion is. Sorry to disappoint you. Heaven doesn't care what you think. Come on, somebody. We're owned by Him. He doesn't care what we think. If we think opposite of what heaven says, heaven wins. In the kingdom of God, we have no vote, no opinions. And any disagreements we have are registered as sin. If we disagree with what the Word of God says, it's sin. It's not liberal thinking. It's not reacquainting ourselves with the Word of God, trying to position it with today's atmosphere. The Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't change. And the battle is in our mind. Right thinking leads to right acting that leads to results. And that's what God is looking for. Jesus had a mission statement in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Matthew 4, 17. You want to know what the church's mission statement is? Here it is. Matthew 4, 17, the first public statement Jesus made to the masses. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Our primary objective and our mission statement is to preach the kingdom. Come on, somebody. When I went to the military, I went to training after I got my clothing. And food absolutely was terrible. You're talking about terrible food. Terrible. But they supplied the food. They supplied the clothing. And they supplied my bunk. Proper name. It was bunk. But I never went to a class that talked about my clothing or my bunk or my food. But yet the church spends hours and hours and hours and conferences and everything else on the car we drive, the clothes we wear, and the food we eat. Never did I get trained about food and clothing. I got trained on how to shoot a weapon. I got trained on how to defend my country. Are you there? Yes. Our primary objective, you and I, is to preach kingdom principles. Matthew 24, 14, Jesus said this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Man, we got a lot of work. We have got a lot of work. I tend to get real impatient with folks that say Jesus can return at any moment. Not going to happen. I'm not saying I don't want Jesus to return. I want Jesus to return quick. But we're talking about 6 billion people on the planet, 1.6 billion in China, and only 1% are Christians, even though thousands a day are being saved. 1.6 billion people is a lot of people. 1.6 billion people in India, 98% Hindu. The gospel of the kingdom has not been preached there. Many people go to India and they go to Chennai, which is a city on the East Coast, and it's a big city, it's an affluent city, and so people that want to have people be impressed by their ministry go to Chennai, where there's a lot of Christians, and set up meetings where thousands come and they preach to them and they say, "Look what we're doing to India. They haven't put a dent." You go 4 hours west, north, or south of there, people have never seen white people some. Never heard the gospel. Never heard any gospel. Come on, someone. Jesus spoke, preached, and demonstrated one thing, the kingdom. He demonstrated the kingdom of God. That's what you and I are called to obtain, the kingdom. This morning, much of the evangelical world is preaching about being born again. You must be born again. Conferences, messages, all over the place. In all of recorded scripture, Jesus spoke of being born again one time in the middle of the night with Nicodemus. I mean, no, Jesus knows what to do to a person that's hungry. We just get them to Jesus. They'll get born again. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine going to classes for 30 years on how to make babies? Can you imagine that? How many would attend after a couple of years? Come on, somebody. We spend a lot of time preaching on what God knows how to take care of. We spend much time on the formula You must. Lead them to Christ and they'll take care of that. You must be born again. Make whole churches built on that. Go to some churches, that's all you ever hear every Sunday. Salvation message, salvation message. My grandfather went to a Baptist church, got saved every month. Go forward, get saved. Come on, somebody. It's like being a real estate agent, selling a house, selling a beautiful house with a beautiful door on it. Everybody comes to the door and say, that's beautiful. We want to buy the house. And they buy the house and they just right there in the foyer around the door. And when you come to visit them, they say, do you see this beautiful door? It's beautiful, isn't it? Look, it's ornate. Come on outside and look at it from the front. Man, it's a beautiful door. What's the rest of the house looking? I don't know. Haven't been there. We love the door. We preach the kingdom. We tell people about the kingdom. We don't just tell people to be born again, that they have to repent. That has to be said. But there's much more to the kingdom than the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Come in and go out and find pasture. Man, when you become part of the kingdom of God, you have authority. When you become part of the kingdom of God, He'll take care of you. Come on, someone. Christ came to restore the kingdom. Did He not? Now, if I give this pen to CJ, and I'm going to restore the pen to its original place, so I grab the pen and I put it over here, has it been restored to its original place? Where does it need to go? Back where I found it. Right here. Jesus came to restore the kingdom, and we talk about going to heaven a lot. He's not restoring us to heaven. We didn't come from there. We're on this earth. He came to restore the kingdom on the earth. Come on, somebody. I know I'm blowing some of y'all's mind, but listen, it's okay. Jesus came to restore the kingdom here. We have kingdom authority here. We've been allowing the devil way too much authority. He has no authority over the elements. He has no authority over my money. He has no authority over my home. He has no authority over my body. He has no authority over everything that I am. You know why that is? Because that's all part of my embassy. I'm an ambassador of heaven. My embassy cannot be touched by anybody in this nation, because I come from the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. So every place I go, I wield the authority that God gave me. He's restoring man to earthly dominion. One day, heaven and earth will be one. What's Jesus getting ready to do? He's getting ready to come back to earth and establish what? His kingdom. He's going to set up camp there in Jerusalem, and He's going to rule the world from that place. He's going to show us what it's like to build a kingdom. But until then, we're supposed to build the kingdom that's been dealt us. When He comes, devil's bound for 1,000 years. Babies will live to be 1,000 years old. Come on, somebody. Sickness won't have any place. He'll show us how it's done. One day, heaven and earth will be one. There will be no difference. Jesus isn't coming to redeem something He's going to discard, and we'll all go to heaven and play harps for the rest of eternity. Come on, somebody. He didn't create the earth and all the planets just to have them lay there vacant. Selah. We sing and speak of His presence coming to us, but it's stepping into His presence that God wants us to do. Into the dimension of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near you, or the kingdom of God is here. We wrongly say a lot, hey, the presence of God is here. God stepped into the room. No, what happens is we realize the environment of heaven right here. That's always here. Come on, somebody. An ambassador speaks for the country he or she represents. An ambassador people come in contact with the ambassador, and they come in contact with the nation that he or she represents. When people come by you, do they know that you're an ambassador of heaven? When they converse, do you use their language, or are they drawn to your language? And all the authority and resources and support come from their country. All of heaven backs you whenever you speak in the authority of heaven. You don't have to worry if angels are there or they're there. You don't have to worry whether God is backing you, he's backing you. Come on, someone. You know, we think of everything that's got to be victory right away. Instant victory. How many know a lot of times God has us speak authority because on the day of judgment, somebody's going to stand there and say, I didn't know. And he said, yes, you did, because that person told you. We are more than ambassadors, though. If we were just ambassadors, that'd be cool. And we know we have the authority in Jesus' name. That's cool. But we're not only ambassadors, we're children. Turn to John 1:12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1 and verse 12. It'd be really neat if we were just ambassadors. But an ambassador can't really have the relationship with the king that is too many. How many know the ambassadors are sent here from the nation do not all have personal relationship with Trump? Some probably have never met Donald Trump personally. But how many know his son Barron has a relationship with the president? John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He gave us the right. It's a privilege to be called a child of God. Far beyond what an ambassador is, a son or a daughter of God. How many know God favors us? Turn to somebody and say, I'm favored. See, it's not because we're this man or woman of faith and power. It's because we're a child of God. We're favored because we're his children. Come on, someone. Still to this day, if my daughter called today and wanted anything, I'd give it to her. Or I'd find some way to meet her need. She's married with two kids. Come on, there's something about our children. How many know there's something about our children? No matter what they do, if they are in need, we're there. Romans 8:16. Flip over there. Romans 8:16. You should be underlining children of God. Romans 8 and verse 16. Oh, wait. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, watch, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. We're heirs, the scripture says, of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means that everything that Christ has authority for, we have. Everything that Christ has, we have. Is there any need that you can think about that God can't supply? No. How many are like me, man? You pray and 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 pray. I liken it, I've told this story before, but I liken it to climbing up the side of a cliff. You're climbing, you're almost falling, you're grabbing, your fingernails are all bleeding and your knees are all bloody and you're trying to get up this thing and you look to the right and there's a rope. How many ever felt like that in prayer? You're just praying, oh God, yes, oh, you're just doing all these calisthenics and all, oh, yeah, and God said, I've taken care of it. Come on, someone. We're children of God. 1 John chapter 3, turn over there, 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner, verse 1 says, of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Woo-hoo! Man, I can't wait till that day. Come on, somebody. I remember when I was 14, 15 years old, and I knew someday I'd be driving my dad's car. I counted the days. Come on, somebody. Count the days till you're able to drive. I mean, remember that. It's not yet revealed what we will be. Well, this is just testing ground for the real deal. Who knows what God has in store? There's so many planets out there, you can't count them. Billions of planets and stars. How many know God's got them there for a reason? As His children, we have the DNA of God inside of us, in our very being. The older I get, the more I look in the mirror, I look exactly like my mother. Exactly like her. The same wrinkles and everything. And it's the same thing, you know. I always talk about Mom because Mom could talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I was with somebody yesterday and they gave me one of those looks like, are you going to stop talking? Talk and talk and talk and talk. I said, man, I am channeling my mom. Come on, somebody. Some people are saying that right now because the clock is going tick, tick, tick. We have the DNA of God in us. We act like our Father. And when we deny that, we become mentally imbalanced and impaired. The body of Christ has become mentally imbalanced and impaired because we've turned from the DNA of God, what God would say about the situation. We offer our opinion. We offer our, oh, we love people. Oh, I love people. I can never say that to somebody. I love them too much. If you live this life, you're going to hell. I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. My opinion doesn't count. I don't want you to go to hell. And I wish I could say, for you, you can get away with that sin and still go to heaven. And that's what the church has done. Because we've denied our DNA. We've got a blood transfusion. We're exhibiting the DNA of the devil. Come on, somebody. We're children relationally and ambassadors governmentally. We are children of God. God will give us everything we need according to His riches and glory. He'll take care of our every concern. When we pray in Jesus' name, He'll give. But ambassadors governmentally, we exhibit the authority and the power of heaven by declaring and making a mandate from heaven what heaven says. Emotion doesn't come into it. Opinions don't come into it. Speak the words of the King. We're concerned only with His interests as ambassadors. We speak only on behalf of the government of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. That's not a popularity contest, especially in today's environment. You speak the word of the Lord and you are ostracized, man. Speak it anyway. I'm not in this for a popularity contest. Come on, somebody. When you're an ambassador, you communicate with the King all the time. That's prayer. You communicate with the King. He'll give you what you need to know. And you carry out His policies. See, as representatives of the kingdom obtaining, we do not run away from challenges. We advance and overcome. The kingdom of God is our inheritance and is ours by legal mandate. The way you enter the kingdom is to die. I love what Brandon says. Brandon says, I was never a drug addict. I died on May 27th. That guy was a drug addict. I'm not a drug addict. Isn't that what you say, Brandon? He died right there. I love that. We need to think like that. We're new creations. We're ambassadors. We're a new creation. We're not like we used to be. Devil tries to tell us like we're used to be. I've been walking with the Lord 38 years. He still tries to tell me I'm one of you. I said, I was 26 years old when I got saved. Look at me. What are you, blind? I bind him in Jesus' name. He has to shut up. Come on, somebody. Many stepped into the door and they went no further. So much of the church has said, man, I got my ticket for glory. That's all I need. Hey, you want a ticket? Here's a ticket. That's all you need. Here's your ticket. You want to live with somebody? Keep living with somebody. You want to live like that? You can live like that. You have to pay your tax. You don't have to talk, right? You could swear. You can do anything. But you still be good. Come on to church. You're all right. You're okay. Come on, somebody. We've filled the world with our opinion, and the Word of God has been ostracized. Word of God says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. The Word of God says, don't commit adultery. The Word of God says, don't covet. The Word of God says, if you want to be a leader, serve everybody. It doesn't say, if you want to. By the way, try this in your life, see if it works, and get back to me. Is that what God said? You'd think by hearing a bunch of Christians today, that's exactly what it said. Well, it didn't work. That worked in 20th century, but we're in the 21st century. We've become enlightened now. I've actually heard scholars say this. We've become enlightened now. The Word of God means something different than it meant before. We're in a post-Christian environment, so we've got to preach a post-Christian. Come on, somebody! I mean, no, Christian was a derogatory term in the New Testament. It was coined to make fun of people that follow Christ. Christian means little Christ. It's a mockery. We're disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus. Ambassadors, children. Governmentally commanding the darkness. Relationally, Daddy, God, fill me, heal me, touch me, lead me, guide me. Ambassador, I bind you in Jesus' name. You have no authority in this place. You have no authority over my life. You have no authority over my wife. You have no authority over my body. You have no authority over Fulton County. You have no authority over Rochester. You have no authority over crack. You have no authority over meth. You have no authority over... Come on, somebody. Because as children and as ambassadors, we have a vital relationship with Him, and we have authority on this earth to establish His kingdom. And when this gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout the world, then the end will come. Everything in your life is ready for kingdom commands. Everything. Your relationships. You want your relationship to be good? Give it to God. Speak as God would over the relationship. You want your position at work to change? Give it to God. Come on, somebody. I hear people complain about work all the time. Well, they don't understand me there. They swear. They say bad things and do bad things. What did you expect? What do you want, a Christian? Every company to be Christian? It ain't going to happen. But God can raise you to a place of authority in that place. I told you that after Bible college, I was in a selling cars, and the owner would come in every morning and bow on his knee and kiss my ring and say, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned, mocking me. That's how he would start his day. All the salesmen would, no, just to me, he knew I was a Christian and I'm going to be a pastor. So he would make fun of me, and they'd tell dirty jokes around me. They'd get around and challenge me. But while I worked there, every one of those salesmen came and asked for prayer. Came and asked for prayer. Why? Because I didn't. It's not that I didn't. Man, I remember going in the bathroom one day and looking in a mirror and say, God, could you just let me just for 5 minutes not be a Christian and just kick the tar out of this one guy. I'm not saying I was good. But I held my ground. Bit my tongue so much it almost bit it off. And I waited. He and God proved himself. Come on, somebody. You want your position at work to change? Bring the kingdom of God into it. Your possessions? Have you given all your possessions to God? They're his anyway. We just are stewards. Come on, somebody. Well, you know, that junk I bought, it only lasts a year. As soon as the warranty's done, it just breaks down. Man, give it to God. Your money. Give your money to the Lord. Come on, someone. You can never outgive God. Preach the kingdom. Make decrees. Establish yourself as a child with his relationship. See, it's the cross. It's the cross. Your relationship with the Father as a child of God and the expanse of your authority as a horizontal beam on that cross. Be a child, yes. Have relationship, yes. Be somebody that's compassionate and emotional and loving God and all of that. Love God. Get in his presence. Stay in his presence. But when it comes time to walk in the world, walk as an ambassador. Don't be a little baby about things. Oh God, I can't live like this anymore. How many know what you did with your kids when they acted like that? Nowadays you can't do that. I know what I did with my kids. We're going in this little room by ourselves, and you see this here spoon? It's going to find your third ear. 1, 2, 3. Your third ear is going to get it. Come on, somebody. I hear Christians all the time. Oh, God, how could you let this happen to our world? Oh, God, I'm so good. Shut up. Go, you know, go in a secret place and cry out to God and cry and mamby-pamby. When you come out of there, you come out as an ambassador, not as some little baby saying, oh, God, save me from this. No, I take authority in Jesus' name. When you're ready to come, you'll come. Oh, God, please come. He's coming tomorrow. I saw the moon turn bluish purple. It's going to happen. I heard a sound over here. Jesus is coming. Oh, God, and finally... Come on, somebody. Be an ambassador. Stand and say what God told you to say. Leave that up to him. He said no man will know the hour, the day or the hour. It's not for you to know. Occupy till I come. Man, if we'll implement the decrees of the kingdom, we'll see some mighty things take place. Mighty things take place in our generation. Obtaining by decree. Next week we'll finish this series with obtaining by obedience. Obtaining by obedience. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that you allowed me the privilege to be an ambassador for your kingdom. Everyone in this room, if they know you, Jesus, is an ambassador. Everyone in this room, Lord, has the authority that you've given them. Everyone in this room is supplied for. You make sure to take care of their clothing, their food, their shelter. Lord, everyone in this room knows that they have a mandate to carry out your kingdom. God, change situations. Lord, as we speak the kingdom of God, change situations. Lord, let us take back the land the enemy has stolen by our laziness, by our distractions. God, we take back that land in Jesus' name. Come on, pray with me. I take back that relationship. I take back that job. I take back that possession. I take back that money. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to live as a steward of every one of those things. Father, it's time for the kingdom to rise up. God, it's time to extend your kingdom. God, help us to do that with every fiber of our body. God, Lord, may each and every one leave here today as we pray the beginning, not the same as when they came, determined within them to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth as it already is in heaven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.